Gulf of Mexico on vacation. I'm about 5 miles out from Panama City Beach. Fishing on my angler boat. 21 feet long. It's got 150 horsepower motor on it. Yamaha. And I'm catching some snapper. What I want to talk to us today is about our giving and tithing. A lot of people have a misconception of giving and tithing. They think that it's all about getting rid of your money and having to pay tithes. Well, actually, it's more about giving. The Lord works into our financial system aspect of giving so that we can receive. All the way through the Bible, it's give and receive. So when we're giving tithes, it's not like we're having to just pay the preacher or pay to go to church or pay for our salvation. That's not it at all. You see, giving works for you for a blessing, so many blessings, all the blessings that you can want. And it's not only monetary. It's in a lot of different ways. God's plan for our giving is for our benefit, not for His. He doesn't need our money, but it's for us. In His plan, He has three different types of tithes, and we're going to talk about that. And the first one is the one that says, if you'll pay the tithes and not rob me, He says, I'll open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out all kinds of blessings, so many blessings, He says. And it's by doing that we really receive and the blessings from God. He opens up the windows of heaven. And blessings isn't always monetary. It's not just getting money. You see, I've been coming to Florida for a month every summer for about 10 years. Maybe 11. I'm not sure. I was trying to remember, but it's been a long time. And by following God's plan of giving, it provides me money to go on vacations. And that's God's plan. That's what it's about. It's providing the best life that He can possibly give to you. So what I want to talk today is about those three aspects of giving. When you give, God's going to give you a better life. And if you have it in your heart, well, here we go again, talking about money, then you've got the wrong attitude about it. You're just a stingy person. You're a selfish person. What God wants to do is work into our lives a giving attitude, not just giving of money, but giving of our time, giving of our talents. And tithing is just a thermometer. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So it's a thermometer that tells us how we really stack up in life. So I want to talk about that today. Uh-oh. We got one on. Right on cue. Let's see what it is. All right. It's a nice ling snapper. That's a very large ling snapper. Very good fish.
Found out that you're motion sickness in that video, did you? In God's Word, we read and we find different things. We find issues where God sort of says something like this. I'll do this if you'll do that. In other words, I'll make you a deal. And you can do my deal and go through life at the very best possible way that it can be. Or you can continue opening up your cases and taking your chances and going through life like you're going. And eventually, you're going to bankrupt if you do it that way. Or you could take my deal, and it's going to come out really well for you. It's going to give you the best life possible, the abundant life that you really want to have in life. So today, what I want to talk to you about is giving and tithing. And if you're sitting there saying, oh, my gosh, here goes again, you know, talking about money and like I said in the video, hey, you got a problem. Giving should be what Christians do. You see, God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus gave His life. It should be woven into us by His Spirit that we're givers and given in all kinds of different ways. Judy and I have been given since 1978, giving and tithing, and, And before that time, prior to that particular time, I don't care how much money I made, and I always have made pretty good money, but if I got a raise or if I got a bonus or whatever, it just seemed like it was always gone. But once I began really walking in what I'm about to share with you, my life changed. I began to have this better and better life. You know, it's abundant now. And so I want to share that with you today. So what I want to do is, if you're thinking like, you know, hey, you know, here we go, it's never worked for me. Well, let me just show you that it does work. I want to ask for a vote. How many would say that you've tried that, you know that this works, not you tried it, but and you think it works, but you know that tithing and offering works for your life and it works very, very well. I don't want you just to raise your hand. I want you to stand up. Stand up. You know. Now I want you to look around at this. See this? It's not just me. Amen. Be seated. See, it works. And what's wrong if it's not working for you is you. It's not God. You're doing it wrong. You don't understand it. And so what we want to do today is try to give you some insight. My goal is not to twist your arm like preachers try to do and put you under some kind of condemnation. My goal is to try to give you knowledge and understanding as to how it works and why it works, okay? Why it works. So let's get started. Let's dive in. Not in the ocean, but into the Word. Okay, here we go. No better place does God tell us His deal and no deal other than in the Bible. So in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, it says this, and this is where He gives us His deal. Will a man rob God, man or a woman? Rob God. Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Now let's ask that. Let's ask that in just a little bit different way. Let's make it very personal. Do I rob God today, in the New Testament, do I rob God today by not giving tithes and offerings? I want you to ask that because that's a very, very important question. And if it is true, if I do, why do I? And how does that work? Explain that to me. So I'm going to try to in just a minute. So do we rob God today? And then he says tithes and offerings. Notice that it's plural. Both tithes and offerings are plural. I'm going to talk about this more in a second. But offerings is plural. There's a lot of different kinds of offerings in the Scriptures. There's the peace offering and the sin offering and the trespass offerings. There's all kinds of different offerings in the Scriptures. There's also different kinds of tithes. Now, most people don't know that. Only one they ever hear is the 10%er. Now, I'm going to show you today there's three different kinds of tithes in the Scriptures. And this is why it doesn't work for you if you've ever done it. And you've just done that one. That's why. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a second. So how you rob me in tithes and offerings. You are under a curse. Now, let's talk about that in just a second. What does that say? Does that say, I put you under a curse because you don't tithe and offer? Is that what it says? What happens? How does this work? We put ourselves up. It's automatic. If you don't tithe and offer, what you do is it's like God wants to bless you. I'm going to read it in just a second where He wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out. What we do is we move ourselves out from under the blessings and under the curse by not doing it. It's that simple, and it's automatic. It's not that He does it. You do it to yourself. So we're going to talk about that more in just a second and how that works out. How, you're under curse, the whole nation, everybody that does it, the whole nation of you, the whole bunch of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Here's my deal. Here's my deal or no deal. Test me in this, he says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not, here's my deal, throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing. On the back of your gateway, all I'm going to have you do today is fill in the Scriptures. I want you to respond to anything other but the Scriptures. So on the back of your gateway, that's your first fill-in. So much blessing. I need you to say that back to me. So much blessing. Say that. So much blessing. Notice now, it's not blessing, a blessing. What is so much blessing? You may not need a financial blessing. If your health's bad, you really don't need money. What do you need? You need a blessing in health, right? If your children are cutting up, you don't need money. What do you need? You need better children. You need a blessing with those children. Or your marriage, or your work. Whatever's going on in your life, a blessing. That is so much blessing. It doesn't necessarily have to be money. But God says, I'll bless you where you need to be blessed. So much blessing. So much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pest. Everybody say pest. Pest. What's pestering you? I'll prevent these things from happening to you, God says. I'll prevent pests. I'll prevent those little things that the refrigerator messing up, or the car messing up, or these the boss messing up, or the preacher messing up. I'll protect you from all this stuff. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and your vines and your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Now, that's His deal. His deal is that if you will do your part, I'll do my part. My part is I will open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that you won't know what to do with it. And honestly, it really works that way. Everybody that I know does this. They get blessed. They don't know how it happened or why it happened. They're just blessed people. Blessed going in, blessed coming out. He says, I'm going to do it. And again, make sure you realize that He's not putting you under a curse. You're doing it. You're putting yourself under the curse, and it is automatic. I could tell you so many stories, and I will tell you some at the end of end of our time today, but I could tell you so many stories about all this. It's just amazing to me. So God says this. Now, the Lord's deal in Malachi is this. If you'll do it, here's what I'll do. Here's my deal. Now, the Lord said people were robbing Him, and we asked the question this way. Am I robbing God? And if so, why? How does this work in my life? So I want to show you how this works out for us in our lives if we are robbing God. In Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30, it says this. A tithe of everything. Would you say everything? Everything. People ask me all the time, well, should I pay tithes on the gross or should I pay tithes on the net? Duh! I got an allowance. Should we pay tithes if we're youth and students on our allowance? Is everything everything? Everything. I got a spare job. I got a side job. I get a bonus. Should I pay tithes on that? What does it say? I don't know what to tell you. It says everything. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain, from the soil, or fruit, from the trees, belongs to the Lord. Now, these were agricultural people. And so they related to this. And then what the Lord is relating to them is anywhere you get it, land, vines, trees, cows, chickens, whatever, everything you, is a tithe of it is mine. And He says, belongs to the Lord. It is what? Holy. If you don't feel anything else in on your gateway, get that one. It is holy to the Lord. Now, I want to ask you a question. Does the Bible say that a tithe of everything is the Lord's and that it is holy to the Lord? Is that what the Bible says? Is that what the Bible says?
Yes.
Now, I want to ask you something very, very personal and very, very straight. Is it holy to you? Do you see the tithe is holy? Is it holy to you? To most Christ followers, it's not. When we think of something holy, we're thinking of something that's separated for the use of God. That's what holy means. If it's holy to the Lord, it's separated to God. It's separated to be used by God. The tithe is holy to the Lord. And there's a lot of things that the Bible talks about as holy, like this. For example, it talks about the holy prophets. It talks about the holy commandments. How many believe that the commandments are holy? Right? They're separated by God. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not, and all these neat things that it tells us, so our lives would be better. If we didn't have those things, we wouldn't do so well, you know? So holy commandments. It talks about the Holy Spirit. How many believe that the Spirit of God is holy? And it's separated for use of God, right? Holy Spirit. And don't mess with the Holy Spirit, right? Is that what Jesus said? Don't fool, don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Not good, right? Not good. Don't blaspheme. That's the one thing that if you do, there's no getting it back. Holy Spirit. You don't mess with the Holy Spirit. It talks about the Holy Scriptures. It talks about the Holy Apostles. It talks about the Holy Temple, the Holy Angels, the Holy One, Jesus Himself. But I never hear anybody talk about the holy tithe. The tithe is as holy as the Holy One. The tithe is as holy as the Holy Commandments. The tithe is as holy as the Holy Spirit. But no one ever talks like that. No one ever tells us that. And when you mess with the tithe, you're messing with something that's holy. You're messing with something that God's got set apart for a specific use. It's holy. And you don't want to mess with the tithe. It's holy to the Lord. And so what we do when we mess with the tithes is we're taking ourselves out from under the floodgates of heaven and we're moving ourselves over under the curse. And we live our lives in all kinds of bondages, all kinds of financial restrictions, sickness, trouble here, trouble there, and the pests are never dealt with. We go through life with pest when we could be living under the floodgates of God. It's holy. Now, the Bible talks about tithes, plural. I've already talked about it. Tithes and offerings. A lot of kinds of offerings in the Scriptures. All kinds. All kinds of way of doing them. All these different kinds of offerings. There's also kinds of tithes. Now, people don't know this. And this is where so often we miss it. So there's different kinds of tithes. And I want to show you these three kinds of tithes. And as I go through them, I want you to look. I want you to help me do something. I want you to do this for yourself. I want you to, one, first of all, tell me if they're different. Secondly, if y'all tell me what they're for and who they go to. And then, are they holy? Do they have a specific purpose? And am I robbing God if I'm not doing this? So let's get started. Let's look at the first one. The first one is the one that most folks are very familiar with. I want to maybe give you a little insight here, but not spend much time on it at all. It's in Numbers chapter 18, verse 21, and it says, "And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth or the tithe in Israel for an inheritance." Now, who does this tithe go to? That's not what it says right there. Who? The children of Levi. Who's that? If you know your Bible, there was 12 tribes in Israel. The tribe of Levi was separated apart as the priest. There was the high priest, his son's the priest, and then there's these other priests, and then it filtered on down to all the people that done maintenance and took care of the place of worship. That was what the tribe of Levi did. So it went to this tribe of Levi. It went to the priest for inheritance, for their service, which, this is how they make their income, which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. So it goes to the tribe of Levi, it goes to the priest, and for the upkeep or the maintenance of the place of worship. So this tithe is specific. And is it holy? Is it used for something specific? What's it used for? Ministry and maintenance, right? So if you want good ministry, you better tithe. If you want a great place to worship, you better tithe. Does this hold true in the New Testament? See, we get good ministry, and we get good preaching and teaching, and we get a great place to worship. Can you imagine what it would be like if everybody tithed? Can you imagine what kind of a facility we could have, and what kind of ministry we could have if everybody tithed? My goodness. Is this true in the New Testament? Does this filter on through? Can we see this happening in the New Testament? Absolutely. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, it says this, "Elders who do their work well should be paid well." Hallelujah. "Especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching." What the Lord is saying here is when you get this, you got something special. When you get this, make sure you take care of it. The King James Version says double honor. Honor them with double honor. I won't tell you all that means, but it's honoring your ministry by making sure they have... You've heard the joke, haven't you? You can take that down just a second. I'm going to tell the joke. that was a preacher and the elders and the deacons that were praying about it, and they told the Lord, said, "Lord, if you'll keep him humble, we'll keep him poor." I don't think it's funny either. When you get something good, bless it. And this is what he's saying here, both preaching and teaching. Here we go again. "For the Scripture says, do not keep an ox from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay." So this particular tithe went to the priest, went to the maintenance, went to the ministry. That's where it goes. That's what it's specific to do. And when you rob the Lord from it, you're robbing yourself of ministry. You're robbing yourself of a great place of coming and worship. You're robbing yourself as you're robbing the Lord. Okay, let's look at another one. The next tithe is where it becomes very, very interesting to me and where so many people don't even know that this is in the Bible. I will never forget the first time I saw it. It kind of amazed me. I said, "Whoa, nobody's ever told me about that before. I've heard about the other one. But look at this. This is pretty cool." And then I began to do a search and try to figure out how I could make this applicable to my life and if it worked. And it does. Here's a great one. Let's look at this one. Now I want you to tell me again the things I want to know. I want you to tell me if it's different from the first one, if it's used for a specific purpose, is it holy, And do we rob God if we don't give it? So it's a pretty lengthy reading, but you'll enjoy it, I think. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 23 through 26, it says this, "And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe." Thou will eat the tithe. You will eat the tithe. Is this one different from the first one? Who's this one for? It's for you. It's not for the priest. It's not for the building. It's not even to pay your bills. It's for you. You shall eat in the place where I choose to place my name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, of thy firstlings, of thy herd, of the flocks, all the things that went as a tithe to the priest and to the place of worship for maintenance and ministry in the first one now goes to you. It's a tithe. 10% goes to you. It's the whole tithe. It's not 2%. It's not 7%. It's not 5%. It's 10%. 10% is holy. And just as holy as that first tithe is, it goes to the ministry and the maintenance, it goes to you. It's holy. And you're robbing God if you're not giving it to yourself. But we get so strapped down in bills and max out our credit cards that we can't do it. And we take ourselves out from under the blessings of God and put ourselves over here under this curse, and we live under this bondage all of our lives. Where in God's financial program, He's got it worked out so that you and I can live blessed, blessed lives. Read on. Here's why you give it to yourself, that thou may learn to fear the Lord thy God. Now, isn't that interesting? I give myself money so I learn to fear the Lord thy God. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or the place be too far for thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there. Let me explain that part to you. The first one was to go to Jerusalem. That's where that tithe went. That's where the temple was. That's where the ministry was. That's where the priests were. This one doesn't go there. This one's going to you. But if the place that you're going to go and worship is too far, he says, that place is too far, here's what you do. Here's what you do with this tithe. Where am I? Too far for thee to go. Okay. When the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then thou shalt turn it into money. Sell it. Turn it into money. And bind up the money in thy hand. Put it in your bag, your wallet, in thine hand. And shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, which was Jerusalem for them. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. You getting it? Who does this go to? You. For what? Whatever you want. For whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen or for sheep or for wine or for strong drink. That blows some minds, won't it? For strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth. Say, for whatever I desire. Say it. Whatever I desire. That's what this is for. It's not supposed to pay your bills. It's not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be for you and your household. Let me read it on. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice. Be happy. This is for your happiness. It's not for your bills. It's for your happiness. You shall rejoice, thou and thine household, you, your family, your children, your wife, your husband, whatever. You go and you have a big time. And let me explain this to you in just a second. But look, before I do, is this tithe different from the first one? Is it set apart for a specific reason? What's the reason? To make you happy. And it's holy. Is it holy? Is it as holy as the first one? Yes, it is. Okay, let me try to explain this to you. Three times a year, God told the children of Israel to come to Jerusalem. They were coming. It's called feast. But it was nothing more than a big, big party. Everybody came to Jerusalem and they had this big blowout. They had this big party. And there was three of them. There was the feast of Passover, which came early in the April, May, right in that time of the year. Came in the first of the year. They came for Passover. And then they had the Feast of Weeks, which was Pentecost. 50 days after that, there was another feast, another big party. They came for that one. And then later into the year, around September, then they would come in for the Feast of Tabernacles. Three times a year, God says, I want you to go to these feasts, or I want you to go to these parties, or I want you to go on vacation. I want you to take you and your whole household. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it through the tithe. I'm going to give it to you. I want you to hold it. I want you to keep it. I want you paying bills with it. I want you to do nothing with it. I want you to go. I want you to have big time. God works into His plan for you and me in His financial system 3 vacations a year for you. Did you know that? He wants you to be happy. He wants you to rest. But we get under the curse and we max out our credit cards and we get so in debt that we can't tithe because we can't even pay our bills. And until you start walking in this, you're going to live that way. You're over here when you want to be here. And so what God works into His plan is a way for you to have 3 vacations a year paid for. How cool is that? I was talking to you on that video. Been doing this at least 11 years. It's paid for. I don't have to put anything on credit cards. God's taking care of it. Let's read that part in that passage one more time. It's in Deuteronomy 14, verse 26. And it says, "And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul," fill in your blanks, "lusteth after." Would you say that back to me? I can have whatever I lust after. Say that. Am I biblical? No. Am I biblical? I know. I'm freaking some folk. Talking about lust. Be all over town. for oxen or for sheep or for wine or for strong drink or for whatever thy soul desires. Religious people. "And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt," what? "Rejoice. You and your household." It's for you. Is it holy? Yes, it's holy. It's as holy as anything else that's holy. It's a holy thing. It's holy for you. It's holy for your family. It's for you to be happy, and it's for your family to be happy. It's a holy thing. It's not for debt. It's not for bills. It's for you. But you've got to get yourself in a position where you can do it. And if you will, He'll rebuke the pest and He'll rebuke the devourers and he'll bless your life. He'll give you great ministry. He'll give you a great place to come and worship. And He'll give you 3 vacations a year. That's what the Lord wants to do for us. Remember that this tithe says that it's the one that if we do it, we'll learn to fear the Lord our God. See, if we'll do it, if we'll do tithe the way we're supposed to, we'll have all those great things in His deal. And if we stop doing it, and if we don't do it, and I've watched this happen, I watch people just move out from under God's blessings and into the curse. I've watched them do it for years and be blessed and go well, and all of a sudden they get mad at me or they get mad at somebody or they stop going to church or whatever, and they move right over here. And next thing you hear is how their life's all messed up. If you leave the church, don't leave the tithing. It's holy. Okay. I want to go ahead now and show you the third tithe, and then I'll attempt to put it all 3 together for you and how it works out in our lives. Okay. I want you to again tell me if this one's different. I tell you to whom it goes, for the purpose of it, why it's there, if it's holy, and if we rob the Lord by not giving it. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28 says this: "At the end of every third year, bring the tithe of your crops and store it in the nearest town." Where did the other ones go? Went to Jerusalem, right? Where does this one go? To the town. And this other one went whenever they got blessed, whenever they had an income. When does this one happen? Third year. Third year tithe. And what's it for? Let's find out. "Give it to the Levites who have no inheritance, or they're retired, or they're old, they're not working anymore, among you, as well as the foreigners, the transits, living among you, and orphans and widows," we could put in there divorcees, "down and outers, in your towns, so they can eat and be satisfied. Then," fill in that blank, "then," say then, watch what? "Then the Lord your God will bless you and all your work." Then! People go to church and they wonder why they're not blessed. Well, you got to do it then. It's a deal or no deal. then the Lord your God will bless you in all your work. Is the Bible true or not true? Then the Lord is okay. Is this a different tithe than the other two? To whom does it go? Poor people, needy people. Is it holy? Are you robbing God if you don't do it? Are you messing with the holy thing? Now, Jesus did this in the New Testament, except he calls it alms. Let me show it to you in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. It says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand doeth. In other words, do this as privately as you possibly can, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, watch the double emphasis here, thy Father which seeth in secret himself, Father himself, shall reward thee openly. Father God takes this extremely personal, and what he's saying here is, I'll take this so personal that I myself will make sure you're rewarded openly. I'm not going to pass this off to an angel. I'm not going to pass this. I'm going to take care of this myself. Here's my deal. You take care of my poor people. You take care of my old folk. You take care of my retired people. You take care of the transients that are trying to get somewhere to do life. You take care of the divorcees and the orphans and the widows and widowers. You take care of them. I'll bless you. And what you did in secret, I'll make sure it's a big thing. I'll do it openly. Let me read again to you that verse back in Deuteronomy and show you how it links up. Give it then the Lord your God will bless you in all your work. Is this tithe different from the other two? To whom does it go? Is it holy? See, you rob God when you don't give this one, because you're not helping his people. When did the Lord say to give this tithe? Third year. Okay, I want you to see it's an additional tithe. It's a third year tithe. This one happened every third year. I'll talk more about that in just a second. Just want to make sure that we've got that into the process here. It's an extra tithe. It has a special purpose. Let me now try to make all this practical for us and applicable. Let's say that a person makes $1,000 a week. Now, some make that much, some make less, some make more. But let's say a person makes $1,000 a week. It's easy to figure, okay? So the first tithe that this person would be to go to ministry and maintenance. Be $100. One-tenth, one tithe. Goes to the ministry and to the maintenance of the building. It supports, it gives you good ministry, it gives you a good place to worship. The second one goes to me. It's another $100. I put mine in a separate account. I'm going to talk to you about how I work this out in my life. Say it was mine, then I have it put into a separate account so that when my time comes for vacations, my time comes to go and bless my family and be blessed in that capacity, then it's there and it's all sitting there waiting on me. And then the third one is a third tithe. Now, what it says every third year, but rather than banging up on that tithe and having another $100 coming out every third year and trying to keep up with that anyway, which most people won't do to start with, what I do is I take a third of it, a third tithe every week. I get paid by the week, and I take a third of it. So if I made $1,000 a week, what I do then is I take a third of it, $33.33, if you want to be down to the penny, and I give that to an alms. Now, I give my alms here at LifeGate, but it's because I know what we do. We help so many people. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories at the end of the time. But there's so many people that we've been able to help. We've got such a great reputation in the town that the city, City Hall will send people to us that they're about to cut their lights off. If they really think that the person's trying and really needs help, they'll tell them about to come contact us. And the housing authority has told people to call us. If they don't just tell everybody to, but if it's somebody that they know is trying and really trying to work it out, they'll tell them to call us. And this area knows, I mean, we've done such good things here with the alms account. I'm going to tell you some stories in just a second. So I give mine here, but I don't have to. Maybe you know some families or you know some people that are really trying and struggling, and you want to do your alms there. That's fine, but just do it. It's holy. It's the Lord's. And you're robbing God by not doing it, and you're not under the blessings, you're over here under the cursing. So make sure you do it. It's a third year tithe. This is how it works out. And if you'll do it, I promise you, God's going to do some wonderful, wonderful things in your life. So here's how it works. If I made $1,000 a week, I give $100 to the church on Sundays when I come in here. And I worship the Lord with my giving. I give $100 to myself. And it's a separate account in my life. And I have it in a separate account. So it's all sitting there waiting for me for vacation times when I get ready to go. And then I give my alms every single week. Now, that's how it works. If you'll do that, I guarantee you. I have a unique position here, as do all the elders. But we see where the giving comes from where the giving comes, and we all know where it goes. But it's kind of unique here. I know the people that do this. And the people that do this, I'm telling you, they live blessed, blessed lives. It's amazing to me. Sometimes I'm seeing go through this thing, and I'm going to share a story with you at the end of our time together. I see them go through these things, and you don't know how they're going to work it out or what's going to happen in their lives. It looks bad, and all of a sudden, bang, God does something. He rebukes the pest. He pours out a blessing. It's amazing. It's amazing what God does. It works. I'll tell you a couple stories and win. I was sitting in the office one day, and at that time, the hospice building was right behind us. I think they've moved now. Phone rings, and it's the lady that's over the hospice in Walker County. She says, "Pastor Young," she says, "I have a situation. I want to know if you could help us with it." I said, "Well, what's the deal?" "We have this elderly lady. She has cancer, and she had a colonoscopy, and she has to have bags, and she's only got a couple of weeks to live, but she's just been given to hospice, and there's no money yet available for her. And I just wondered if maybe you could help." I said, "Sure we can. What's the deal? How much are we talking about here, whatever?" She said, "Well, she needs those bags." And she says, "And she's under tremendous pain, and she needs a medication." I said, "Well, how much are we talking about?" And it was $100, $150 or something like that. It wasn't that bad. And I said, "Sure we can. We'll do it." Well, I called back over there a couple of weeks later after that, and the lady had died. But what I want you to see is that we were able to give that woman a dignified death. Her money hadn't gotten in yet. But we were able to provide for her those bags and give her some sort of a dignity and help her be as pain-free as we possibly could. I was sitting in my office one day and knock, knock, knock. I locked the doors now because something happened since this particular time. But I knock, knock, knock on my door. I open the door and there's this very pretty young girl standing there with two children. And "Yes, can I help you?" And she says, "Are you the pastor?" And I said, "Yes, I am." She says, "Well, the city told me to come up here." I said, "They told you to come up here?" And she said, "Well, no, they didn't. They just told me you might help." And I said, what's the deal?" And she says, "Well, my husband left me. I can't work because I got these two kids, and I can't pay. I don't have any money to pay for their being set. But my mom's coming in a couple of weeks to be with me and help me out a little bit." And she says, "But I don't have any place to go." And she says, "I'm living in the housing authorities, and they're going to evict me. And they're going to, if I don't pay my bills, if I don't pay my electrical bills and my utilities." And I said, "Okay." So I made the phone calls. I called the city and I called the housing authority, made sure that I wasn't being duped. And a lot of times they'll duke you. So we try to do the best we can to checking that out. And it was legit. Usually when they send them to me or have them call me, it's usually a legit deal. And so I said, "Okay, what's the deal?" So I asked him how much it would require to get her by for until her mom got in and all this stuff. We were able to help her. But see, it's like that scripture said, it was a divorcee, a widower kind of thing, with these orphan children without a daddy. We were able to help them. People in our church that we've been able to help that had this bad time they went through. It's amazing how God blesses us because of that. It's the alms. I'll tell you one more story. And then we'll pray. Most of you know Randy Parker. Randy's right there. Years ago, Randy's working over here at the plant, and he knocks on my door at the office. This is how I remember it. And he says, "Pastor, I've lost my job." I said, "What?" He'd been there for years. "I lost my job. They're cutting back, and they've let me go." I said, "No, man, yeah." I said, "Well, what's the deal?" He said, "I don't know. They're going to pay me until I find another job, but you know, I don't know what to do." I said, "Randy, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know this, because Randy's tied since I've known him, which is 20 years, and I know God's going to," I said, "I don't know how, but I know God's going to take care of you. It's his promise. It's his deal. And so I said, let's do this. I said, let's get some good resumes made. And he, you know how you feel when you lose your job, man. You just feel so bad. You feel discouraged, and you know you're depressed, and you feel belittled. And so I said, let's get you some good resumes up, and we'll pass them out and get you to see what's out there. Let's do our part, and let's see what God does. So we did. We fixed him up a really good resume, and he put it out. And he had a lot of job offers, but none of them were able to pay him what he was accustomed to making. So this went on for several weeks, and so I would ask him every few weeks, so how's it going, man? You heard anything? No, I got this job offer, but they can't pay me anything. And he'd be all freaked out and distressed. But I said, Randy, go on vacation. He looked at me like I was crazy. I said, oh, no. I said, oh, they're paying you? Go on vacation. Go do something. Have fun. Enjoy it. And you're crazy, man. And so we went on for a couple of weeks, and 3 months later now, Randy hasn't worked. They've been paying him. He finally decides, okay, I'm going to take this job. As I remembered, it was a night shift job. And so he was about to go that day. That night, he was going to report in for work. He gets a phone call from the place that terminated him. And they said, Randy, we want you to come back to work, but we just don't want you to come back to work. We want you to come back to work. We want you to oversee the whole plant. We're going to give you a big pay raise. We want you to come and have this place. You're going to be over it all. That's what God did for him. You see, and it's amazing, but the story doesn't end there. I've told you that part of the story. Yeah. But, I mean, I'll give you an update. That's cool. But see, I'm going to give you an update. What happened is that a couple of weeks ago, a month maybe now, I don't know, they told Randy, we're going to shut this plant down. So Randy comes to tell them, they're going to shut the plant down. I just looked at him and smiled. And I said, man, I don't know how God's going to do or what God's going to do, but I just know God's going to do something. This is going to be fun to watch. So every week, what you heard? Well, I don't know. They're going to shut the plant down. So a couple of weeks ago, he says, well, we're going to have a meeting Friday, and they're going to tell everybody and all this stuff. And I said, well, what are they telling you? They're not telling me nothing. So they're not telling you that you're going to be moving or nothing? He said, no. And so he goes over there, and they have the meeting. And so what they're going to do is they're going to take 75% of the plant and shut it down and keep 25% and use that plant as a distribution kind of a deal. So I asked Randy, I think it was last week, I said, Randy, I said, what's going on? I said, what's the deal? He said, well, they're going to shut down and 75% of it, and they're going to keep 25% of it running, and they're going to change it all over. And I said, well, what about you? He said, well, my pay will stay the same. I said, well, let me get this right. You got 75% less work to do, 75% less people to worry about, and you're going to make the same money. Is that right? He said, yeah. What about that? Now that's God. You say, I'll rebuke the pests, the devourers. I'll do this stuff for you. That's my deal. Now, here's God's deal. Let's make sure we get it right. If you do your part, here's what God says. Here's his deal to you. He says, I will do these things for you. I'll open the floodgates. I'll pour you out so much blessing. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness, it's God. Yes, sir? Okay. Yes, sir. All right, I'll tell him. I was about to tell him. Yes, sir. Okay. All right, bye. It was the Lord. He said, here's my deal. If you will do your time, what I will do for you is I'll open the floodgates of heaven. I'll pour you out so much blessing you won't have room to receive it. I'll rebuke the pest. I'll make your refrigerator last longer, your car last longer. All those things that pester you, I'll take care of those things. I'll work in your family. I'll work in your finances. I'll work at your work. I'll do whatever I can to you for you. And if the money's not there, I'll make sure it's there. If you do your part, that's my deal. I'll make sure you have a great place to come and worship. I'll give you great ministry and great teaching. That's what I'll do for you. I'll provide for you 3 vacations a year for you and your family to go anywhere and do anything you want to do. And if you'll bless my people, is that God again? If you'll bless my people, if you'll give the alms and you let me use you to bless the poor, I'll reward you so in such a big way openly, it'll just fascinate people. That's my deal. Or you can continue to do life like you do it, open the cases and take your chances. Move under the curse and live the rest of your life strapped down. Deal or no deal. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great word. It's amazing, Lord, what you have in there, the insights and the wisdom that you can just give us. Father, I pray that every person here, every spirit here, every soul here has heard your deal. And I pray it's moved us to think and to contemplate and to adjust our lives. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You'd say, Delbert, you know what? I haven't been as good at this as I ought to be and as I've got to be. And I really want to be. I'm really going to strive over the next several weeks and months to get this adjusted in my life so that I can move from under the curse back into the very blessings of God. I really want to do this. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand so I can just pray for you right where you're sitting. Would you raise your hands if that's you? Let's all pray together. Father, thank you for these hands. Thank you for these people, Lord God, that have heard your word. And Lord, they really want to make this applicable in their lives. Father, I ask you now by your Spirit, Lord, that you will touch each and every person. Lord, you will keep it on their minds. Lord, you will help them with their finances, with their marriages, with their children, with their work, with every aspect of their lives. You will rebuke the pest. Lord, you'll give them a great ministry to be under. You'll give them a great place to worship. Lord, I ask you now in Jesus' name that they'll be used of you to bless the poor. And I ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Maybe you're in a place in your life you got away from the Lord. And tithing isn't even in your vocabulary at the moment. But you see the necessity of it. And you're ready to get your life straightened out. You see, Jesus went to the cross and died for you, hung on Calvary's cross and died so that you can have an abundant life. And this is a part of it. This is the key that makes all that work. And so what the Lord wants to do for you today is draw you back in. And when he draws you back in, make sure you walk in this. So many Christ followers don't, and they still don't live the abundant life that God has for them. So maybe that's you today, or maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you want to. I'm telling you, you'll have an abundant life. He died on the cross and shed his blood to wash you from your sins, from all those bad things, from all those pests. He died so that you could be freed from those things. If that's you today, you want to get back in the right relationship with Jesus Christ where you know you're supposed to be. Or maybe you want to receive him as your Lord and Savior for the very first time. I want to pray for you right where you're sitting. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you right where you're sitting. Would you raise your hand, please? I see your hand. Any others? One hand. Bless you, sir. Bless your life. Okay, let's pray. Everybody in here pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Teach me your principles. Lead me into your salvation. Lord, I want to experience more than heaven when I die. I want to experience the abundant life now. I ask you to help me have it. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody says, amen. God bless. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to sing one more song. We're going to receive the offering. Amazing how I wait till the end of the service to do this, huh? We always do. If you're new here, this is our offering time.